Good morning. Good to Zoom with you today. I haven't had the opportunity to preach since February, so I hope I remember how to do this on Zoom. We start today, though, I think with broken hearts. We, as a people, are lamenting the deaths of 215 children whose stories we do not know. Their stories are only given witness to by unmarked graves. It is in that silence that we have to listen. And not only do we have to listen, a lament is about learning and doing something differently. We cry out for those children. Our hearts are broken. How is it that churches can have acted in many ways through history in the name of God and carried out such things that speak of division, injustice, a lack of mercy or compassion? The church has also spoken for these things, but it becomes glaringly obvious that we have missed the mark on occasion, and we have to learn. Our lament of broken hearts is that we need to change. We need to love better, differently, more deeply. The readings actually of Samuel help us understand some of this. You see, Samuel was the prophet, and they were worried that Samuel was getting old and his children didn't follow his ways. And that made the Israelites nervous. So they looked around and they decided that instead of being God's people, they needed to have a king like the other nations. And Samuel said, "You don't want to do this. God is your king." And they said, "No, we want to be like the other people." And Samuel said, "This is going to cost the lives of your children. He's going to take your sons and daughters and put them to war. He will take your grain and your animals for his own service and benefit. He will take these things away from you." And they still said, "It's okay. We want a king. We want this. We demand this. We are stubborn. We want a king." In doing that, they stopped having God as the center point of their lives. They stopped having God be the relationship that called them to justice and mercy and love. They wanted a king to fight their battles. It is a sign of how the combination between faith and government doesn't really work. Samuel said, "Don't do this." And their stubborn hearts said, "We're gonna." History will prove that some of their kings were good and just and wise. And some of their kings were dictators, fools, and squandered their people. This is the history of the human family. Now we go to the gospel. Jesus lives in this time where, and there's some context that we need to get to, the chapter 3 of Mark speaks of how Jesus is, of all things, healing people on the Sabbath. And of course, the people who are taking note of these things and realizing that Jesus is doing something against the law as they have interpreted it, they call him on it. They too have stubborn hearts. They demand that people act only in certain ways. They have made the law and what is correct. It is not God's law. The law here, by the way, is not the enemy. It's people's perceptions and interpretations of the law. So Jesus is in this setting where people at the very beginning of his ministry are already after him because he's breaking the law. And he says to them, what does the Sabbath mean? Isn't it a time for us to do good? They don't like that. He has defied their authority, their interpretation, their perception of the law. And people are beginning to follow him, and he is becoming popular. So popular that he is not able really to have any time by himself. So this gospel reading that we have today, he has gone off into a house and he hopes to have something to eat. But so many people have come to be with him that they're crowded around him and he is not even able to eat, nor are his disciples. It is this setting that we hear his family come and say, oh, I think he's probably he's lost his mind a little bit. He's not quite yet there. They're making an excuse because Jesus has created a scene. He ponders the questions. What is this for? What are we doing? He is reaching out and healing the people. He is listening to the people who are in need, who are hungry, not just for food, but for justice, for mercy, for compassion, the things that should be in religious practice, but are no longer. Because religious practice has reduced itself to something other than God's way. It is the way that the humans have perceived the law. Jesus is stirring things up. He is opening his heart to the vulnerable. The unclean spirits give to Jesus a title, the Son of Man. This is far closer to who Jesus is than the Pharisees, the known religious experts who call him Satan. The truth of this situation is coming out in places where people don't want to look for God, in places where people are hurting and broken. That's where Jesus is. He's messy in the mud of life. And people want him to be clean and nice and controllable and predictable. And he is not that. Jesus says this, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you've committed an unforgivable sin. I don't know about you, that sounds pretty serious. I remember as a little kid asking one of the Dominican nuns, what's that? I want to make sure I don't do it. She said, just, we don't even talk about it. It's that bad. Which was another way of saying, I haven't the foggiest idea. Well, I think we get close to this idea when we understand that Jesus is saying, if we aren't together, if we aren't like brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, if we don't have a sense of the family that God has created us to be, if we are about division, if we are separated from each other, we have committed the sin against the Holy Spirit, who calls us to be united in love. Who then are Jesus' brothers and sisters? They are the ones who, filled with the Spirit of love, love. That's what's really important in all of this. How do we do God's will in this world? It is not found in power and privilege and status. It is not about finding a king or a government that can fight our battles for us and do our dirty work for us. It is about us making the choice to love the other, the one that is unknown, the stranger, the person that we don't understand. It is about us learning to love people in diversity. We lament today because we didn't take the time to listen to people with loving hearts. We chose instead a defense, a posture, a conquering, an overwhelming. We did not act in a loving way. We lament this and know that we have to do better today. What then might it be to do God's will today? How is it that we can do something to make this world more at one? The only answer is the answer that Jesus has given us, which is to love. There are people that don't want to do this because love has itself been commercialized and reduced to something that people can easily dismiss. But love is the only answer. So let me give you some thoughts for all of us. We need to walk this world a little more humbly. You see, when we choose to have a king, as the Israelites did against Samuel, we don't walk humbly. We create a privileged class and we give them entitlements, so much so that we think we also are entitled. We walk humbly. We need to walk humbly. That is an understanding of where we fit in the scheme of life. God has shown to us and calls us to be brothers and sisters, to be siblings, to be in relationship with one another, to be at one. The only way that we can do this is to know that God is in each of us, none of us better, all the same, each unique, each a person, each wonderful, each reflecting the presence and the goodness of God. But we are one with each other. And to walk with a sense of gentleness. None of us need to be so powerful that we can take the lives of other people. None of us need to be disregarding or indifferent. Like any of us, any of creation is less important. We need to walk gently and speak gently. We need to be kind. These are simple things, but they change the world. If you're looking for the Holy Spirit, if you're looking to do the will of God, if you're looking for God, which I believe we all are, more than likely, we will find God in actions of humility, gentleness, and kindness. The last point that I want to bring out today is in our gospel, and it's how our gospel ends. Jesus sat looking around the people around him in a circle and said, these are the ones who do the will of God. Think of that circle. There's no hierarchy. Everybody's on the same level. Everybody is a part of. Everybody is included. Everybody has a voice. Everybody is welcomed. Everybody's story can be heard. This is what it means. Jesus sitting in the circle with us, calling us to be a family of love. This is God's will, that you and I understand that God has created us in love, to be love, and to love one another. If we have this image in our mind and in our hearts, we will listen to the stories that are untold, but we will ask to hear them. We will not let 215 children die untold in their story. We lament to change, to open our hearts to our brothers and sisters, wherever and whoever they are. You and I, this day, must make the choice to walk with gentleness, kindness, humility, to love one another, to listen to someone else's story, to understand how they are presence of God in the world. Our King sits in a circle with us, no crown on his head. He sits with us. Let us join that circle of mercy and peace and love and compassion. My brothers and sisters, God does give us the grace to change our hearts. Let us open our hearts. this day and give the peace to those who need it. Blessings.